Blog Talk Radio.
I feel the love of the saved in this place.
Good day, good day, good day, and welcome to the broadcast. This is yours truly, the Apostle V.W. Jones Sr., right here on The Proceeding Word. We're so glad to be with you and here with you today. It's another wonderful day that Yahweh, our Elohim, had made. I will. You should. Come on, let's do it together. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. This is another day, chance, opportunity, and moment in time that will never be like another moment in time you can or will ever experience. It is the opportunity. It is the space of time in which you and I have been designed to fellowship with the Father. Yes, we are in preparations, or I should say we are in preparations for that. We are to be there not long from now. We are approximately 8 hours and some change away for a time of fellowship and worship in Him. Yes, it's called the Sabbath. That's what it's called. Well, right here on this broadcast called The Proceeding Word, we want you to be informed of the benefits and the privileges that are associated with coming into the place that we call Sabbath. There is an understanding like you have never imagined that deals with and what this day allows you and I to experience. It is the seventh day of rest. It is the day which would be the day in which Yahweh named the other and all days, rather I should say, it is the only name that Yahweh has literally, the only day He has literally named rather than have had numbered. It is the seventh day. Hallelujah. We're approaching it. We're coming into it. It is a place and a space of what we call time in Him. It has purpose for us to rest in Him, reset the way you thunk or think, reset the way you see things, reset who you are in Him, allowing Him to take the reins of your heart and your life and give over all to His purpose, plan, but more importantly, His destiny for why He created you to live in earth in this time span. It's a significant thing. We are going to enjoy the teachings that the Most High gives unto us today. Come on, grab your Bibles. Let us prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the word. I mean it. Get what you know of a Bible. Get your ink pen. Get your paper. Get your planner. Get everything that you're going to need. Grab your concordance. Grab your KJV, or I don't care what translation you got at this point, because the word is going to be the word. We're going to make it make the word make sense in your life today. And it's all right. It's going to be a wonderful experience and environment of worship. Ruach, we honor you today and bless your wonderful name for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and the places you've allowed our minds to literally embrace you within. Our hearts, our works, our deeds, our words, we give them to you. And we ask you now to teach us, as only you can, the will, the way, and the purpose of what you have for us. Well, today we want to get you right into the writ. We want to get you right into purpose. We want to help you to learn how to walk out and to keep what we call salvation present in and through your life. Well, grab your Bibles. We're going to talk about that wonderful time of the year, that wonderful time of the week. It's called Sabbath. Mm-hmm. It's called Sabbath. That's right. Say it. Sabbath. Mm-hmm. It's called the day of rest. It's called the day of re-equipping. It is called the day of restoration. 7 days in a week, we get this. Or one day in 7 days, I'm sorry. One in 7 days, we get this opportunity. The issue I'm finding is very intriguing to me is that we oftentimes, because we don't know about it, we don't engage it. But when you know better, what you going to do? Yeah, that's right. You're going to do better. It's a wonderful dynamic. It is the thing that allows you and I to literally overcome. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Let's get into the writ today. Grab your Bible. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. It is what it is. It shall be what it needs to be for you and I to embrace all that he has for us. Leviticus chapter number 23. This is so good. I love his word. I love this writ. I love his purpose for our lives. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 23. I can't get there. There we go. Leviticus chapter 23. Come on. You're going to get something today out of this. We're going to take you down to about verse number 3. All right. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh, listen to this, is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings. Now, I'm going to run over quickly to Luke chapter 13, verse 14, because that's a piece of the New Testament that sort of grabs and makes what we call a manifestation in the New Testament, because many believe that what took place in the Old Testament doesn't have any bearings on the New Testament, and our understanding is clearly that the Old Testament is the reason the New Testament even exists. Go with me quickly to Luke chapter 13, verse 14. Today we're going to do quite a bit of Bible study. That's right, the Bible's study. Not our words, but his words. We're going to learn him today. Take his yoke upon you, for you shall learn of him. All right, look at this. We're going to talk about this in a second. Verse number 13, chapter 13 in the book of Luke says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified Elohim. And the ruler of the synagogue, you know, those religious people, answered with indignation because that Yeshua had healed someone on the Sabbath day. And they said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And he answered unto them and said, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass from his stall and lead him weighing at the water? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And he said these things, and all his adversaries were made ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Now, I want you to understand this because it goes deeper. Matter of fact, why don't we just read that piece because it's so significant. Verse number 18 goes on to continue reading in Luke 13, 18. It says, then Yeshua said unto them, to what is the kingdom of Elohim like? And whereto shall I resemble it? He says this in verse 19. It's like a grain of a mustard seed, hallelujah, which a man took and cast into, I lost my page, here we go. It's like a grain, verse 19 again. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and it waxed great into a great tree, and the fowls of the air began to lodge in the branches of it. And he said again, whereto shall I liken the kingdom of Elohim? He says, it is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leaven. And he went through the cities and through the villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one of him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and he has shut the door, and you being and begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not from whence you are. And then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, we have taught in your streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from where you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Avram and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of Elohim. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Now, Ruach just had us to continue to read that because it's important to understand what it means to enter in at the straight gate. But more importantly, or equally important, I should say, is the concept for why we talk about the straight gate, because it requires us to constantly honor him and not be caught up in the tradition and or the ceremonialisms of what we call church participation. The element of Sabbath, the day of Sabbath, the day of rest, the day of the Holy One, the day in which he desires to know you, embrace you, empower you, impart in you, impact you, and impress upon you his destiny, is in this day. It is a day that for 24 hours we are to sit in his presence. It doesn't mean go to church per se, even though the story here in Luke 13 is giving us the impression and the necessary history that what was done on Sabbath was done under the restorative element that Sabbath brings. So when we look at what happens in Hebrews, or Luke rather, chapter 13, verse 14, which is what led us here, the rulers of the synagogue, once Yeshua had laid hands on this woman, who she was now loosed from. You know what? Let's just go back. I want to do this. Let's go back to let's go to verse 10. Luke 13:10. Grab your Bibles. Let's go there quickly. We're already in Luke 13, which we started at verse 14. I should have been to verse 10, and I want to give you this so we can understand a bit more of our point for Sabbath today. And he was teaching, this is Yeshua, in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, the day of rest. Now, apparently, again, re-understanding that it's not that you can't go to church, but he also was within what appears to be a Sabbath day journey from the synagogue. And if you are within a Sabbath day's journey, and a Sabbath day's journey back in those days was a half mile. So if you were in Sabbath, you could walk, travel up to a half mile. All right? And so therefore, in most of those cities that were put together back then, they were a lot more dense. They were closer together than our cities and our cities are today. So a half a mile covered quite a bit of residences and quite a bit of market placing, and within a half a mile you could see a lot. But if you went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, he was there because he was within a half or a Sabbath day's journey. So verse 10. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was the rest day. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Yeshua saw her, he called to her and said, come to me. He said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. You are released from that sickness. I love what he does here, because sickness, we don't know what bowed her over. Now, there is another woman people like to confuse this woman with, which would be the woman with the issue of blood, but this was not her. The woman with the issue of blood had the issue of blood for 13 years. This woman was bowed over for 18 years. We don't know if she had a mental illness. We don't know what type of physical illness, if there was a physical infirmity. We do know infirmity means a sickness. We don't know if it was mental or if it was physical. But at the end of the day, when you are in the presence of a restorative blessing, hallelujah, and Yahweh sees you there, hallelujah, she was in the right place. She honored the Sabbath. She was in a place of restorative virtue, and she became recipient of such. See, oftentimes we just need to be in the place that the Word is. Yeshua was the Word, living Word, in flesh. So where she was, the Word was, and her honoring of Sabbath caused her to be recipient of a restorative virtue that was hallowed and blessed into that day of Sabbath. What do you mean, hallowed and blessed into that day, Apostle? Well, let's look at your Bibles quickly. Stay there in Luke. Run to Genesis chapter number. Your finger in Luke. We're coming back to talk about this woman who had an issue for 18 years. She was bowed over. We're going to talk about the restorative virtue and the empowerments that are already accessible to those who search for Messiah. Already accessible to those who look for what he's already prepared, and how these things can be literally obtained. Look at this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. It states, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them." This is all the way up to day 6. So chapter 2 picks up at the end of day 6. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them." That means man was made. That means all the cattle, the trees, the separation of land and water was engineered and laid out. The topography was prepared for. And therefore, in verse 2, he says, "And on the seventh day, Elohim ended work," his work, "and the work which he had made." He stopped making things after that point. "And he," Elohim, "rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." Now let's look at what Elohim does here. Verse 3 says, "And Elohim," here it is, "blessed." He empowered that seventh day, and he sanctified that seventh day. The reason he did that, because that in that day, he had rested from all of his work, which Elohim had created and that he had made. He set this day apart of all the days. This day, there was no work done. This day he used for a recharge. He used for mankind to have a replug, to have a restorative virtue, to have a rest in him, a resetting, a redirecting, a reestablishing of intentional programming and engineered thought. This is something that we have to begin to understand, because it goes beyond our natural understanding, and it really literally entices our spiritual inquiries about how there is more earth than what we are experiencing, yet we don't know quite how to attain it, how to move into what we know exists, but we can't quite wrap our hands around it. Well, this verse and the comprehension of Sabbath brings into focus a bit more clearly what it is and how it is we can obtain it. So Elohim blessed the seventh day. He set that day apart. He empowered that day. And he sanctified that day. That means he made it even clean enough for him to come down from his throne in the third heavens, that place of glory, that he himself every week hang out, be with. I believe that the seventh day is literally the altar that is made unto Yahweh. Granted, 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 you and I are stone, we are dirt, we are mud pies walking. We have the altar within us. We are the tabernacle that comes from above. But I believe in this concept that when he blessed this day, he empowered this seventh day. He did no work in it. He just, he sat on it. He sat in it. And then he sanctified it, as if to say, when you're done the 6 days, come over here and sit with me, and then you'll rest from the 6 days so that you can get a fresh start for the next 6 days. And that's really what this is all about. And many say, Apostle, this is just unnecessary. Don't take all that, yada, yada. But let me tell you something. Truth be told, what Yahweh wants to do and how Yahweh wants to function and operate within us has always been and shall always be to the glory of him. Because when his opportunity to favor and bless you exists, he can only do it through the process he has engineered. You've got to understand, and we've got to embrace the reality of what it is he wants done. He wants us to rest in him, because in the course of 7 days, in the course of 6 days, we can move and go about and do all the things we want and desire to do. But oftentimes we can get off kilter, off course from what he wants done, and we ourselves lose the purpose for why he's given us life. The seventh day always helps us. Every day of the week, 52 times a year, helps us to remember and or seek out the purpose for why we exist. You know, it's an interesting theory, but it is more than a theory. It is an actual plan. So as we talked about here in this passage, let's go back to Luke chapter 13. That's where we are. We just went over to Genesis chapter number 2. And we read verses 1 through 3 to give an idea of what this day of Sabbath was about. So back to Luke 13, back to Luke chapter 13. We'll go to verse number 10. I want you to catch this, because I want you to understand that at exactly 8:15, I think it is today, sundown begins for us. And when sundown begins, we want to be in a place where we can rest in him for 24 hours. We want to be in a place where we can rest with him and give him the glory and allow ourselves to know who he is and what he is in our lives. So these things are important, more important than we've given credence to. But I tell you, they'll bless your soul, they'll bless your life, they'll bless your heart, and they'll grant you the ability to understand his purpose. Look at what he does here. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, the day of rest. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bowed down altogether, and she could in no wise lift herself up. And when Yeshua saw her, he called her over to him and said to her, "Woman, oh my, my, my. I'm getting goosebumps just listening to it. Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. You are released from your sickness." I don't know. We don't know. Many can speculate. Many can try to even pontificate that they would know. But we don't know whether this was a mental illness, whether this was a physical impairment, an infirmity, whatever it was a sickness. And that's why the Bible declares that by his stripes we are healed. And whatever your illness, whatever your sickness, mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, you can be loosed from your infirmity on and in the Sabbath, in the seventh day, the Sabbath day of rest. The Bible goes on to say, he says, you're loosed from your infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. You think she's not going to glorify Elohim? I'm thinking so. I don't know how you can. I'd be blessing him. I'm blessing him right now as if it happened to me. Hallelujah. I dare you to lift your hands right now and praise Elohim because of what he did for her back then on that day of Sabbath. And let's see if that doesn't open up his presence into your dedicated day of Sabbath, where he can come into you and tell you, sir, ma'am, woman, man, you are loosed from your infirmity. Hallelujah. Way we bless you forevermore. I dare you. Give him glory for who and what and why he is. It's a wonderful day of his presence. Give him the glory. Give him the praise right now, even if it's by faith, for what he's already done for this woman. She's gotten her healing. She's already walked up straight. She has since passed on. I pray she's in glory. But if we would bless Yahweh for the truth that becomes real to us, he then causes this to become real for us. Listen, because he says that what he's done for others, he will do for you. But you know Yahweh only works in expectancy. Don't you know that? He only really works in expectancy. I dare you to give him praise for what he's done for this woman that he has loosed from her infirmities. And I assure you, he will look forward to loosing you from yours. Matter of fact, I think it begins to make you want to be loosed from your infirmity, whether it's sickness, whether it's health, whether it is mental, whether it is physical, whether it is financial, whether it is emotional, whatever it is, I declare that Yahweh himself wants to see you and I loosed from our infirmity. But the beauty of this is that most of these great healings, most of these great things of ministry where people have been empowered and blessed come, listen, on the Sabbath day. Yeah, it's true. It's when we give over as a people who are Torah observant, who are worshipers, those who obey the word. You can be loose. Yes, I got excited about that, and I want you to be equally excited about that because it's an important piece. Your life, your worship, your understanding of him, it is so key. It is so important. And everything he does is to empower you for life. Life to be lived, not life to just go through and be mad with life and frustrated with life. Life is supposed to be and work together for our good. I want you today to be loosed of whatever has bound you. Look at what Yeshua says about this woman on the day of Sabbath. Verse number 13. I'm in Luke 13, verse 13. And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified Elohim. I'm sorry, I'm going to take another 3-second praise break. Hallelujah. Glory to your name for what you did for her. I bless your name, Yahweh, our Elohim. You are the great I am. Alleluyahweh. El Elohim Israel. We bless you. Baruch Hashem. Hallelujah. Thank you for making her straight and giving me hope that what you've done for her, you'll do for me. What you've done for others, you'll do for them that love you today. What you did back then, you'll do it again today. For every listener and every viewer on this line, I decree and declare you are loosed from your infirmity when you worship, hallelujah, and you honor his Sabbath. I dare you to give praise in expectation of what he's going to do. My. And you might not even know what he's going to do. Don't put your mind around what you want him to do. He already knows what you have need of. He just needs you to be in the right place so he can begin to do it in his system and process. of restoration. It starts with your Sabbath. It starts with you and I coming and laying prostrate before him. On the day of the week, every week, you have an appointment with the Father. Yes, you should spend time with him every day. Yes, you should spend hours with him every day. But there is something, hallelujah, about the sanctified. There is something about the blessed and empowered day of Sabbath that you and I need to begin to give over to him. Give your energy, give your strength, give your power, give your thoughts, give your words, give your beliefs over to him on that day. And he, listen, will sup with you. His word will sup with you. And as the word comes out of you, because you're reading it into you, you're singing it from deep in your heart and your soul toward him in honor and devotion of who he is, Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, will hasten to the words that you have now have imputed into you and will begin to perform them. You know, words that tell you that you are to be above only and not beneath. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Words that tell you that you are healed, then he begins to work in your body better than any physician you know can. He'll do work inside of you that the technology we have today has no clue about how to fix. He'll begin to prepare for you those things in your past, those things in your present, those things in your future, and make them work together for your good and the good of all you've been assigned to actually impact. It's so important to know that his process, his order, he is the God of decency and he is the God of order. But the order comes from us obeying him in all truth. Hallelujah. This studio, I just feel his presence all over me. Here in his presence, we bless his name. So he look. Luke 13. Come on, get there. I hope this is blessing you as much as it's blessing me. I don't know if it is. I don't know it can. But I tell you right now, it's a wonderful thing to embrace. Look at what he says. Woman, you are loosed from what has bound you up, been released by worshiping me. He says, by worshiping Yahweh, by being in the place that has been sanctified, listen to this, and hallowed out for you to be restored. Now, it's interesting how this plays out, because in verse 13, after he lays his hands on her, Luke 13, chapter 13, verses 13, after he lays hands on her, and she's immediately made straight, I'm still rejoicing over that. I'm so happy for her. She's not even alive today, but I'm still happy for her as if it happens to me. And see, that's what we have to be. In times when things go in your life, you have to be happy for other people being blessed, even when you don't appear to be being blessed. Because as you bless God and thank him for other people receiving what they need desperately, you yourself will be blessed in that same process. Always rejoice over someone else's rejoicing. Rejoice for someone who has received healing. Rejoice for someone who has received crucial information. Rejoice for someone who has been set free, even though it ain't happening to you. I was ebonic on purpose. Even though it ain't happening to you, rejoice as if it were happening to you for your brother. When a child gets saved in another family, rejoice with that mother and that father or that pastor and that leader who's been praying for that soul. Rejoice with them. I rejoice even in this woman who's already been gone for thousands of years. But look what happens in her situation. Verse 14 says, because they're at the synagogue on the Sabbath day, so that means that the people who are Torah observant are there as well. Now, though they are Torah observant, there's a lot of halakha running things. Verse 14 says, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Indignation is another word for disdain. How dare you? Who do you think you are? You are just coming in here and changing all the things that we've had set in stone as tradition for our people. You don't do this. How dare you? Be careful that you don't become a person of indignation. Now, there's a righteous indignation, and then there is this foolishness of indignation. The Bible says that the ruler, these are our people that are high up in the synagogue. They answered him, "This woman just got healed. Apparently, this woman has been there for 18 years, coming to the same synagogue, sitting with these same rulers, praying and asking for healing, rendering offerings, singing the hymns, being a part of the service, but couldn't even lift herself up for 18 years. And he comes into this synagogue, sees her, speaks the word of life over her. And the rulers of the synagogue, who've seen this woman for 18 years, couldn't do anything for her, didn't know how to do anything for her. They offered ceremonial prayers on her behalf. I'm certain, I would hope they did. But they get upset because the woman is healed. They're upset, probably not because she's healed, but the fact that she was healed in a time that went contrary to their perception of what their tradition should be. You be very careful. And because the way you think a thing should go, and when you find out when Messiah puts his hands on it, it turns out in a different vein from what you thought it should be, that you don't become indignant. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because he healed on the Sabbath day. And said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, like healing is work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. And Yahweh answered this ruler. Now, that's deep. I'm looking at what he says. There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. So what he is saying to Yeshua, the word itself, he is telling the word. That's what he's doing. He's talking to Yeshua. He's telling the word, 6 days there are to work. And on those 6 days, that's when men come to the synagogue to be healed. You don't heal on the Sabbath day. Yeshua looked at him and answered and said, "You hypocrite. You hypocrite." First thing he tells this ruler. And see, it doesn't mean that this ruler is someone who is necessarily a leader in the church. It is someone who believes to the death in the way that they think the church should function. He says, "You hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath, if his ox should get loose or his ass should come out of the stall, don't you lead him away to get water?" Stop being a pretender. Stop being a phony. Stop being a fake, propagating and perpetrating a fraud. That's the day you're supposed to rest. Don't stand up here and be all pious like you have not done work on the Sabbath. Don't each one of you, that's who he's talking to. He's talking to the rulers of the synagogue. He says, don't each one of you, even on the Sabbath, loose his ox or take his ass out of the stall? Don't you take them to get water? Don't you take them to the watering well? So are you telling me that you getting water to your asses and you getting water to your oxen is more important than this water, this woman getting water from me? Oh, y'all didn't get that, did y'all? That's why he's the living water. That's why he told the other woman in Samaria, he says, if you knew who I were, you would ask me for water. He says to her, don't you concern yourself more with her being healed than you should about your ox and your cattle getting water on the Sabbath? I love this. I'm going to reread verse 15. You hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall you got them stored in and lead them down to get water? The water might be more than a half a mile away. The water might be so far away that you got to do work getting him. Isn't that serving y'all work? Because the lamb or the ox or the ass, whatever it is you're leading to water, that's your That's your bartering tool. Those things are serving our work. So now you're telling me in verse 16 that this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who has been bound by Satan, whatever this bondage is, mental, physical, spiritual, whatever it is, she's been bound this many years, 18 years. And on the Sabbath day, she comes and honors Torah by resting in the sanctified and empowered day of the week that Yahweh has made. And you're saying that your ox and your cattle should get water more importantly than this woman being healed on the Sabbath, and you are going to be so jealous and prejudiced of me because you don't like who I am that you now make it a issue before the people. He ain't supposed to do that to be how it's done. People, what you work on 6 days, and that's when you get healed. On the seventh day, you rest. Nobody works. What work was done, people? What work was done? There was no work done. She simply entered into his rest. How I love Yahweh. Be careful of becoming religious. Be careful of becoming ceremonial. Be careful of becoming preconceived idealists that you think you know how his kingdom works. That's why he goes on verse number 17 and begins to explain what the kingdom of Elohim is really all about and how it really functions. But verse 16 says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who without Abraham, you Israel, don't even exist, this woman who by chance is also now bound up by the work of Satan, some evil that has befallen her, lo, for 18 years she's had this problem, sat in front of you guys, and you were unable to loose her. Maybe that's why she didn't get loose, because you wouldn't pray for her on Sabbath. You came whenever she brought offering. Don't do that. Then he says, but now you find out that she has been loosed from this bondage on the Sabbath day, and you got a problem with it? I love what he does here in verse 17. And when he had said these things, all of his adversaries were made ashamed. All them that opposed him and just were cantankerous towards him, those who just sat around him waiting to see him error and falter and fall. That's what happened when Yeshua walked the earth. They just wanted to see him fail. They couldn't believe that what he had been propagating was true. He couldn't possibly be the Son of God. How dare he say such things? Now he's in our neighborhood, and it's the Sabbath day, and this woman is healed. See, he can't be of God. If he was of God, he would know that you don't do this on the Sabbath day. They thought healing was work. Boy, how we can mess up the ways of Elohim with the ways that we think. He looks at them and he says, y'all got some serious issues. But when he makes the statement, all of his adversaries were made ashamed. Because beyond it all, Yahweh wants you healed. He sanctified the seventh day for healing. But because sometimes we can get so bent on proving something or someone wrong, that our preconceived idea can get and clog and fog our vision. His adversaries were ashamed. The interesting thing is, in verse 17 it says, and all the people began to rejoice for all the glorious things that were done by Yeshua, even on that day. Then, once they understood, all right, our tradition and our what we think should happen shouldn't happen. Verse 18 says, to what is the kingdom of Elohim like? Whereto shall I resemble it? And the king, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, our Savior, our Redeemer, our hope, our peace, begins to express to us all those things that are pertinent to righteousness and holiness. How I love what he does. How I love how he embraces truth, his spirit, the righteousness of him. It's like a grain of mustard seed. Listen, some of you, all you need is just a mustard seed, grain of hope of the word. He says, it's like a grain of mustard seed which a man took, and he cast it into his garden, and it, like all good seed, grew. It waxed into, it became, it grew up into a great tree. And the birds, the vultures, the hawks, the eagles, the falcons, the sparrows, all the fowl of the air began to lodge, meaning take rest, take refuge, excuse me, come out of the rain, get under a leaf, get protected from the blowing wind. They began to lodge in the branches of this great tree. Then he says, again, whereto shall I liken the kingdom of Elohim? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. He went on through the streets of Jerusalem, towards Jerusalem rather, teaching people. And then one of them asked him, some of the people began to say, are there few that be saved? He said unto them, like I say unto you and to myself today, listen, strive. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive. Persevere. Press your way. Do all you can to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Because the way of Elohim is narrow. Once the master of the house is risen up, once he stands up, once Yahweh stands up in the Feast of Sukkot, and he shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside, and you begin to knock at that door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Master, Master, open to us, please. He shall say unto you, I know you not from whence you are. That door will be firmly shut. Then shall you begin to say, look, hey, whoa, wait a minute. You know us. You do know us. We've eaten with you. We've drunk with you in your presence. You've taught us in our streets. But he shall say, I'm telling you, I know you not. I know you not from where you are standing. I talk to everybody in the streets, but where you're standing on the other side of this door means that you and I never knew each other. Or you heard about me. You heard what I've said, but you knew me not. Because where you're standing on the other side of that door means you were never working the words that I'd been teaching. So he says, depart from me, all of you who work iniquity. Depart from me, says Messiah, all of you who work iniquity. Now, this verse 27 is something that we need to really pay close attention to because it allows us to see much of how we again can fool ourselves into thinking that having knowledge of something means we're also working something. And he doesn't want us to be confused with having knowledge of something and not actually working it. Look at what he says in Luke 13:27. He says, "But I tell you, I know you not from where you are." Meaning, remember, the master has stood up. He has invited all that he has invited in. They've all come in, and he has now shut the door. And then others who have come, who have hung out with him in time past, who have heard him teach in the streets, who have heard his words in the synagogues, who's heard his words in the church, who has heard his word in prayer meeting and in Bible study and in choir meeting and in all the things that we do within our religion and traditions of religions. He says, but from where you're standing at right now, if you're not on the other side of this door with me, I don't know you. I don't know you, because though you may have heard my words, because they said, wait a minute, verse 26, they all said, hey, wait a minute, we've eaten with you, we've drunk in your presence, you've taught us in our streets. But he said to them, I tell you, I hear you, but I know you not, watch this, from where you are. Because if you heard the words that I taught in your streets, you would have followed me. And if you would have heard the words and been doing the words that I spoke to you, you would be on this side of the door with me. So now the truth has come. Though you may know of our words, though you have had sound bites of what I've spoken, though you may have an actual Bible in your hand, if you are not working it, you are working iniquity. So therefore, you got caught not working the words of my teachings. So when the door shut, you are not close enough to me to be on this side. So depart from me. And the reason you have to depart from me is not because you didn't know the word. It was because you didn't work the word. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Man, I'm telling you right now, I don't want those words spoken to me. And I don't think you do either. So today I ask you, will we keep working our traditions? Will we be like these rulers of the synagogue who got indignant because he healed a woman who was broken down for 18 years? I prophesy to you today, work his word. Get into the Sabbath time of rest, 24 hours from about 8:15 today. Check your times. Find out when sundown is in your region. And from sundown today, Friday, until sundown tomorrow, give Yahweh 24 hours of complete concentration. Complete concentration. Con yourself to him. Set yourself aside from family, from friends, from anything that is contrary to him, and completely envelop yourself in his presence. Sing songs of devotion to him. Read his word out loud. Let his word be read to you. Find a study. Be a part of it. Just get into him and let him minister and serve and reset you. Well, this is my earnest prayer for you today. Repeat this prayer with me. Father, you are Yahweh. I come to you now, having heard your word, desiring to work your word. Save me. Keep me. Forgive me. And reset me. I honor you and desire to give you the Sabbath, to bring my person, to present my body a living sacrifice, that it might become holy and acceptable unto you, which is the believer's reasonable service. Thank you, teaching me your ways. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray and say, Amen. Oh, get your business done. get your work done, set yourself up, get your stuff ready, and I say to you, at sundown today, Shabbat Shalom. Have a wonderful day. Remember, he loves you more than you could ever, ever imagine, and he simply requires you to learn who he is and why he is in your life. Till we get a chance to meet again, we say to you, Shalom.